Hello and welcome to Season 4 of the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
This podcast is all about elite distance running in the UK.
We're here to give you all the latest news updates around the sport,
as well as weekly interviews with athletes and coaches.
Stay up to date by following us on Instagram and X at Sunday Podcast.
And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel too, where we post athlete workout videos, shoe reviews and more.
Thanks for listening, and as always, we hope you enjoy the episode.
London Marathon Week is here, and as promised, Matt and I are bringing you our preview of the elite women and elite men's fields for Sunday's race. Obviously, look, it always comes around quite quick, and it is the best marathon in the world, isn't it, mate?
Hands down, mate. Hands down, I think. Obviously, saw what we were watching Boston yesterday, or at least I was. And again, that is an amazing marathon. But I think London is just as big, and you have the kind of fast times to boat as well. So,
yeah, what do you think of those on shoes yesterday?
Oh, mate. Well, shout out to Ollie Laws. I sort of said to him, I was like, man, they're some of the cleanest shoes in the game. And he said, yep, they're the fastest slippers around. So, which is how they look. I mean, actually, I was having a few discussions with Tom Barrett, who you'll hear on the podcast on the weekend, Oxford student, organizing Bannister Miles. But and he was saying, you know, aerodynamics is underappreciated in distance running, and you know, covering up the laces there. And I wonder if that is kind of on have made the move. I was surprised actually how people weren't fussing over the shoes that much. I feel like if that was a Nike, everyone would be going, what are Nike doing? What's this? But I haven't seen too much on social media. Maybe people have just stopped caring as much, but it's definitely talking about. And I think we are going to see laceless shoes basically from now. I think On have just kind of paved the way, and I think we're going to see that more and more now.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's something that definitely caught my eye. Obviously, Helen Aviri taking the win yet again. But
it looked a bit like Balenciagas, actually, didn't they?
I just think that. I was like, that's a Balenciaga sock trainer.
So I guess it's because we've seen it before in fashion, right? Laceless shoes have been around for a little while, and football boots and stuff like that. So I guess it isn't that much of a talking point. But I think we could see a few laceless marathon shoes coming. Yeah, super shoes going forward.
Yeah, do you reckon they'll ever go back to, obviously, football of this season? Like, the Predator has been a massive thing, like going back to like OG Preds. Do you reckon the running brands would just bring out some like OG Vicks just to satisfy the customer, you know?
Well, I think Nike tried, didn't it? It was like that classic Kipchoge colorway, which came out a while ago. That was just so clean. What was that? His 2003 issue that he wore at the Worlds, but I don't think you can recreate a Vic these days. We rely on too much stack hype, but yeah, mate, Obiri and Lemo, the winners of Boston. I'm sure you'll watch it. We won't talk about that too much. We want to get into these London fields, and actually, we will talk about the elite end of the London fields, because it is going to be interesting. It's going to be electric. The women are going for a world record. Can you believe it? I mean, 2:11:53 in Berlin by SEFA, and they want it again. They want more. Whether that's doable, whether the weather is going to allow for it, I'm not sure. I know it's going to be relatively warm, sort of 16, 17 degrees. Again, the weather forecast is hard to predict, but at the moment, it's just so gusty as well. So I hope that wind calms down for them. But yeah, Lum, do you think we'll see a world record, or do you think it's going to be... We've seen it before in London, where I feel like it's almost a jinx to say you're going for a world record, because they just all go off so fast, and it is slightly downhill that first 5K anyway, and then it kind of all starts to fall apart a little bit, doesn't it, towards the latter stages?
I think they are trying to challenge that women's only world record, not necessarily the overall world record. So I think there should be
close. Okay, my bad.
I believe it's still that 2:17 of Mary Kitani.
Wow, well, they'll probably smash that then, to be fair.
So I don't mean they'll get quite as close to a Sefa's own world record. Obviously, she's running of that 2:11, but I think, yeah, there's a few of them that will be trying to get that women's only world record, because it has stayed at that for a while.
This makes a lot of sense. I just read world record and got excited and
I
thought,
know,
oh my
mate. They're
God.
clickbaiting you. They're clickbaiting you.
I mean, I'm just not reading the
Yeah,
reading the briefing,
some
to be
things
honest
never
with you.
change.
Mate, I think, look, we'll talk about that now because that says a lot to me, that the women's world record is still only sitting around 217 when we've got five women in this field who have gone quicker than that. And Elamu as well, 217.09. So potentially six, Chipchirchir as well, 217.16. We've 217.22. We've potentially got almost 10 women actually quicker than that, who have run 217 low or quicker. And so it actually shows you how much help and aid they do get running with men. Because the Brits in the field, for example, we got Becky Briggs, Alice Wright, Anya Culling, Maya McLennan's making her debut, Lucy Reed's making her debut, Helen Gorner's. These Brits in the women's elite field, I'll just put it out there, I feel sorry for them. They're going to be on the elite start. They'll have each other to run with. Whether they'll run with each other for long, I don't know. But if you're sort of hanging around that 230 mark as a woman, I'm getting in that mass start. I mean, I know for a fact, quite close to Becca Murray, she's doing the mass start, or championship start. Just because, yeah, if you're running 230, I mean, how many men are running 230? And like, how many people are running 230 in the London Marathon that you can run with and actually have a good experience? Loads. It's the only perk of being in the elite field in London to get in your bottles. But
Yeah, obviously you're getting your fuel in. I'd imagine you get some. We obviously get your kind of appearance money. You might get money for being in the top Brits as well,
financially,
prize
you might be
money,
better off as
which
well,
would
yeah.
only count as elite women. And I think, look, that is it. Like there is financial kind of incentives, and especially kind of athletes at that sort of level. Like you've got to be taking those. I think it, what's a shame is what I think the women's race at London, the women's elite race, really allows for is a really good place to have the to have a trial, for example. Because say this was a trial race, then you're like, actually, it doesn't really matter that it's just, what is it, eight Brits we've got on there, because you are just racing each other then. So it doesn't really matter that it's kind of a bit separate to the top end of the elite women's field, and we could really see kind of some places unfold. Obviously, as we know, Olympic teams not picked like that, so but maybe that's something in future that I think would be pretty cool.
Yeah, we've always said that. I mean, the Kew Gardens one was quite special, wasn't it? That was a fantastic display of just racing, really. And I think people crossing the line, that emotion that Chris Tomo had when he crossed the line, and Steph Davies as well, wasn't it? She's someone who's struggled since. But yeah, I think you're right. But yeah, it was just interesting. I think it's good to note. Obviously, don't blame them at all. I think, like we said, financially, bottles and stuff like that, it's probably good. And actually going forward to experience being elite only start. I mean, yesterday, obviously in Boston, if you're on that elite women's start, yep, it's the same thing, isn't it? You're gonna have Kenyans just take off up the road, and a lot of major marathons have these elite women's starts, but it's those ones, the Valencias, obviously Berlin's probably the only other one which is mixed, isn't it? But yes, the Valencias, the Sevilles of the world, where you can really go and crack a quick time. And
Yeah, even just the prep though. Like I'm sure anyone who's done like even like a low key kind of road race, anyone who's had an elite entry at a low key road race can like relate to being able to be in a tent right before a race, to be on like and then kind of pulled out and have your own start
starts a lot more relaxed, yeah.
versus trying to navigate like massive crowds. Like you even feel it. I felt it before, certainly for like a 10K or a half where I've not been in an elite start versus where I have. Like the difference in terms of like trying to get like going to the toilet, all things like that is a and especially like I can't even imagine that on the scale of London, because even those championship starts, they are packed.
Yeah, they are indeed. I mean, so should we break down the field a little bit more?
Yeah, let's get into it, because obviously we mentioned Assefa, obviously the outright world record holder. But then obviously you got Bridget Koskay at 214 as well. So I think they are the two big contenders, not purely based off their times, but Koskaya's heritage as well. It's just huge.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Cepangelic, I think Shipchir as well, the Olympic champion. It's just the pick of the bunch, isn't it? Amazayana, I mean, 216 in Valencia pre-Christmas. It's just you. To be honest, I don't think we're in the know enough to even call it. You know, it's so I remember last year being in that London Marathon tent, and then you start to see a few of these Ethiopian and Kenyan coaches rock up, and Richard Nwoerere, he's a lot more in the know when it comes to the Ethiopians. We've had him on before about it, on a podcast, and again they start to, you know, as whispers of how people are training and what they're going for, and what sort of pace they'll be setting off at and stuff like that. But and then you start to find out a lot more as well. To be fair, yeah, in this regard, we're pretty blind, aren't we?
I think that's
But
it.
you
And I
would
think that's
say.
the, sorry, mate. I was just going to say, I think that's the interesting thing in the marathon, isn't it? And we always say this, but it's worth reiterating because in the track season, we do get to see people's form unfolding as the season goes on. And there's not many that keep their cars like real close to their chest throughout a whole season, like your Josh Kerrs, but even he's got a race. The marathon, we haven't seen these athletes potentially since they last ran a marathon, for example. And so who knows? Like, and again, anyone listening at home, I'm sure there's plenty of people listening who are running on Sunday. No one knows like what your training's been going on. And I'm sure like you yourself know the ups and downs of like kind of how these athletes are preparing. So look, they could have missed a week's training like 2 weeks ago and just no one would know.
And this is it. And in the press conference, they all blag it and say they've had the best preparation they've ever had. They're going for national records, world records. So, but you know, when someone's what, two and a bit minutes ahead of the nearest person, and that's Tigist Assefa leading the way, I mean, you'd be silly not to bet against her, wouldn't you? So, I think Assefa, and given her sort of marathon credentials, I think she is going to take this one. But like I said, I always find it interesting when it's these women-only races. They actually have to make moves late on, not just kind of hang on to a bloke. And it's like last person standing. So I do get quite excited with that. We've seen some big drama in the women's race. I mean, last year, Jesus, with Hassan coming through, you don't get more dramatic than that. But it was because the women were sitting at 30K. I remember they were just getting cagey. They didn't know when to make a move. And actually, some of their tactics and sort of race decisions were quite poor at times. And I think you just get that because you're throwing them into an environment that they're not usually in. The way they train, large groups with men pounding along, it's just all about getting the most out of yourself. So it might be that we see a little bit more of a race as someone like Amezhayana. Like she might come through. Obviously, she's got great track pedigree as well. Prez Cepcerce, like to win the Olympics, you've got to be a pretty good racer. So I think we might see a few of these slower women feature. But
Well,
and
that's
the
it.
fact is 217, there's going to be a group of, I mean, there's 10 of them who have run 217, 30 or quicker. It's ridiculous.
Think that's the thing. I think this is why we haven't seen that world record go, is that they'll go off at world record pace through halfway. But then, depending on how many are still there, people start to think, actually, am I going to be the one to keep this world record pace going, or am I just going to sit in now and have a racing decision? So it's going to be super interesting either way. I think you are right, though. Like, when your PB is 211 against like a field where I don't know, like a sub 220 is still ridiculous. That's still a ridiculous accomplishment. That yeah, you can't really look too far past this effort. But yeah, I think Koskaya, and then you mentioned Ayana and Jepchirchir probably for me.
Yeah, fair. And the British race, like we said, I think it's worth taking. Obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on that. They'll be showing it broadcast, probably, no doubt. But none of our top, well, none of the athletes who you would put down as, I guess, there's only one spot for Paris left anyway. And it kind of, for me, it kind of is between Rose Harvey and Clara Evans. Those who are next quickest, obviously, Rose 223, Clara's 225. I think Clara has the advantage because she ran a 70-minute half the other day. Rose Harvey, I've heard on the street, she is going to run a half marathon the same day as London. She was due to do Battersea 10K on Friday night, just gone. She didn't turn up. And apparently she was quite a late entry for that as well. So was a bit surprised. Because I guess that's a good way to prove fitness. But I think she's going to do a half marathon instead. But for me, unless she runs 70 or quicker. I mean, Lily Partridge in there as well, but I think she just hasn't proven form enough. So I think we could see, yeah, unless Rose Harvey goes and runs something inside 70 minutes for a half, because I think Clara ran 70-11, something like that, last weekend. I think Clara might go, but I guess that could be harsh because Rose has run 2:23. But again, this is where it gets tricky with marathon running, is where did you run your time? Because as we've seen, if you've run these times in you know, these Valencias, the Chicago Rose ran it actually, didn't she? But you know, these quicker courses, it is a little bit unfair. That's what's hard for the selectors.
Say Becky Briggs and Alice Wright run PBs. What are they, and anyone else for that matter, but just looking at kind of the top two on paper, what do they need to run to make the selectors look at them?
Oh mate, they probably need to run 2:24.
Do you think?
100%, mate. 100%. Clara Evans is 2:25 flat, I think. Rose Harvey's 2:23 20, somewhere
Me
around
though,
there.
I
But
think if you rock up at London in an elite women's race, not with the men, and you run the standard at this time of the year, proving marathon form, which as
what,
we
say
know
they, yeah, say they
is
run like
very,
2:26 low,
say
but
they're on 226 low, I think as a selector you've got to have that conversation in that room.
yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think it would just be so difficult for them to,
Of
because
course
when
it
you've
would,
got,
yeah, it would, but
I don't think they ever would pick. I don't think they still would ever pick you because you're just too much slower than. You know, it'd be like someone running a 13 flat 5K and someone, well, it's probably an unfair comparison, but someone running 13 flat 5K and then someone running like a 13:20 or 13:19, and say the standard was 13:20, someone like that.
yeah, but I
It would be
think
tough.
if you made that argument on the track and the other person hadn't run 13 minutes for, I don't know, however long it's been, I think you would be making that argument.
Yeah, I agree. Well, look, we're gonna get a review podcast going. We're gonna talk through those selections when they go down as well next week. So, yeah, there's the women's field. I mean, should we just guess the winning time quick? I think it'll be 1:02:15. Lum, it's amazing no one's gone quicker than Paula's 2:15:25 on that course yet. But I think we might see a 2:15 low.
Yeah, of course. 216. I've been there, or 217, like low. What is the exact world record?
2:17:01. I looked
Okay,
it up when we were talking
216
about
then,
this.
216.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon they get it, but not by much. By the time they have a bit of a cagey finish and then a kick.
Okay, mate. Well, let's move over to the men's because from a
The
British
king's
angle.
back. King Kenny,
Feeling
but
that.
yes, but yeah, I think the British race, obviously, I think is more exciting from our perspective. But of course, we've got to mention Bikili returns to the streets of London.
Look, I would love for the fairy tale Bikili to win London in what is virtually his final outing ever, probably. We thought he'd retired.
Keeps
A new
having a
running
final
brand
race,
gets,
doesn't he?
yeah, a new running brand gets hold of him and goes, "Mate, come on, here's a 4-year deal. Let's keep you in the game a little bit longer." He's like, oh, "God, sod it. Okay, then." London come knocking on his door again. They're like, "Please come back." He's like, "Fucking hell, I thought I was done 2 years ago." And
Mate, imagine Bikili goes and wins London on Sunday. He then goes to the Olympics, spanks Kipchoge.
Kipchoge doesn't win it. Kipchoge doesn't win the Olympics, mate. Kipchoge's, I don't know
He
who that Kenyan team is
said
going to be. I don't know
Kipchoge said
who.
he's gonna win.
I don't think he will. I think actually, if this Lemma dude goes that won Boston, I mean, he's won Boston. He's run 2:01 in Valencia. He just looks built for like brutal courses as well. Like he can handle anything you throw at that guy. He doesn't look to be too much of like a smooth rhythm kind of guy, needing the perfect course conditions, etc. Although he has DNF'd a couple of times in Boston. But I think he goes to Paris and he wins if he gets on that team. I'm sure he will after that result. But yeah, Bikili, Can't see him making that Olympic team. Unfortunately, I would love him to, but yeah, you Ethiopia. I mean, Geremu never won a major. He sits in. He sits there with a PB of 202.55 from London a couple years back. I think he's in with a shout at winning this thing. Tola as well.
Tola's the
Two or
guy.
three thing. Yeah, Tola is the guy.
Tola is such a good racer.
Kamora. I mean, you were saying Kamora is going to win just off air.
Yeah, I just got a soft spot for Kamora from those him and Muchiri back in the day, just taking it
Ah, oh, those
to
world cross days, mate. Oh.
and just yeah, so some of the best races I've ever seen have involved that guy. But yeah, I mean his PB's 204 is quick enough. That is quick enough to take the win in London. And I just think he's a great athlete, and he's due a bit of a breakthrough, I think, because we saw he showed he was truly like at the top, or if like one of the top in the world, like on the track. Definitely saw it on the cross country. We saw it in a half marathon. And I think it's about time he added kind of a real marathon crown to his resume. But again,
Yeah.
that's
He's
me
won New York. He's won.
probably quite emotionally rather than because obviously I don't know what training he's been doing. Who knows?
Yeah. He's won New York before, hasn't he? And this was pre his motorbike accident. But yeah, I think he got second last year. And so I think he is in with a shout of getting the win as long as it's. And I think they are going for a controlled 61:30 at halfway. I've heard on the
I love how
grapevine,
that's
we'll see.
controlled these days as well.
Yeah, I love how that is controlled. But for these guys, I mean, how many times have we seen them go? I mean, in Valencia was just ridiculous. And the one thing which I have a little bit of hope for Bekele is they went off so hard in Valencia, and and he still ran 204 in quite a grim way. I think even he was about 61 minutes at halfway or something stupid. He might be 61:30. He was inside 62 minutes and still ran. I think he ran 204 lows, didn't he? So that was impressive for me, because if he just gets it right, the problem you've got with that lead group is, I wonder if there will be a second pacing group. Like, if there's just going to be, because usually they just throw all their eggs into one basket, 61:30, 20 men, even if your PB's 207, off you go. And then it's the pacing where the Brits come in. And this is where, like, Emil's going to have his own pacer. I've heard it's going to be around about that sort of 206 mark. So 63 flat through halfway. So we'll see. I think he definitely wants to box off that world's time, which is 206 20, 206 10 or so, 206 30,
I can't remember
206 30 maybe. Yeah, so I think he wants to box that off for the next for Worlds next year, which actually, when I heard that, I was like, well, that's a good thing, because it means he sees himself doing a world championship next year.
that.
And so does Phil. Speaking of Phil Sesman, he wants to, with the world's being in Tokyo next year, he's really keen to go out there and race. And he's almost calling it like the second home of road racing, isn't it? So outside of London Marathon. So he seems like he wants to target that as well, which I think is quite interesting. Because
I
next
think
year,
from a
after
British,
that high of an Olympics,
I think from a British perspective, like doing the world champs and the Olympic marathons is a or should be a like more of an incentive than trying to chase these times and do these majors. Because realistically, like they're never gonna really feature in a major. But like we saw probably Hawkins, the last one, like what did he get 10th in Rio? Was he 11th?
10th in Rio, fourth in Doha,
10th in Rio and 4th in Doha.
fourth in London. He was a
Like,
beast at the World Champs, actually.
that's what I mean. Like, Brits can perform on that stage
Yeah.
and really crack into those top 10s. Like, we don't see people making top 10s like in a 10K on a track, you know? So,
It's true.
or the five. So, I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity to go and do that. And look, I'd love a Brit to come round and start running 202, 203, but the likelihood of that is very slim to then go and win a major, for example. But I think people like Emil, like Mark, can go potentially and get top 10 in these kind of world champs and Olympic marathons.
I agree. So on the Brits, on Emil, obviously, yeah, we think he's going to try and hit around about that 206 mark. He's going to have his own pace group. Who that is yet, not entirely sure. But I guess the one risky thing if you're Emil is you'll have your own pace group, but there won't be too many men in it.
Yeah, I think everyone quicker than Emil is going to go with that lead group.
Everyone quicker than him, yeah. Even this Tesfaye, this Henk Tesfaye, I'm reading. Is there a train who's run 2:07:12? He'll be up the
Yeah.
road. You just know. So
Think
there's
of
some of these
Emil
guys.
is, as we know, obviously, we've had Emil on the podcast, so make sure you go listen to that if you haven't already, because that is probably one of my favorite episodes. And he talks about his training there. He does a lot of training on his own. So if and we saw when he did the what was the official name of the 10 mile the 10 mile race, what was the official name, Matt?
Oh, the podium 10 mark.
Is that what it was called? I thought there was a special name for it. I can't remember. Anyway, that the
Just
10
called the
mile
10, mate. I think it's.
yeah the 10 then maybe it was the 10 maybe the 10 the 10 anyway, brilliant race that Chris Barnes put on from podium. Emil there, we saw his ability to just lock in and
Yeah.
roll on his own. So I think as long as he's got paces through halfway, I think that guy's absolutely fine.
Yeah. And he'll know. I think the funny thing is that actually I spoke to Sessman about this Sessman and Mark on For the Kudos yesterday, and they were just kind of saying like when people have a bad marathon, it's because I think when you're not a marathon runner, you go, oh, it's going to go 50-50. So they're either going to pop or run amazing. And they actually said it's like any other race. If you're in shape, it goes well. Like there's always a reason why it doesn't go well. And I
Yeah.
think he is in shape. He'll rock up in shape. He's just come off of a 60 flat half marathon in Naples. What was that, a month or so ago? Like, I think he was a little bit gutted. He didn't break 60 even. But you know, to run 60 flat, 60:01 or whatever it was, he's in very, very good shape. So I can only see it going well. So yeah, he won't be stupid. He'll know his pace. And he'll just lock in. And I think it's going to be interesting because I think we say he's going to be on his own later on. I think he will, but he's going to have a whole host of men that he can work off of because there's boys who are going to pop and he's going to be catching men. You know, he could be looking at sort of overtaking five, six men towards the end of that race and could see him finishing in the top five, maybe top six. So can't remember where he was last year. I think he was top 10 last year, 208.07. So.
Yeah, I think in terms of the race in itself, I think it's very clear that Matt and I think Emil's going to take that British number one spot. But the
Yep.
big question then, who is next? Because we have a massive list now of Brits. PBs ranging from Hawkins, obviously, has run 208, just a bit shy of Emil's 208, but obviously a long time ago, down to number of people making their debuts.
Oh boy. Yeah. I mean, I can. Mark Scott is getting hyped up, rightly so. But someone I honestly think we're sleeping on is Mohammed, and he ran 208.40 in his debut. In his debut at the distance in Valencia.
Yeah.
I think his half times are exceptional. He ran 61:16. So 61:33. So he ran 61:16 at World Half, I think, and 61:33 at Big Half. And I'm just like, mate, he's. You know, previously, I think in 2022, he's running 62 flat, 62 lows. You know, he was going to Eurocross. He was, you know, he was just racing loads. And I just think that's someone who he's in super shape. We've only seen him do that one race this year, and that was that Parley Hill Cross, where he actually got third. Like that was a little bit disappointing, but it was a month after Valencia. I don't know if he was. I think he would have recovered. I don't even know kind of what shape he was in then. If he was training all that much before it, obviously he was training, but whether he was, you know, sort of targeting it, etc. And I think this man will run inside the standard of 208.10. 208.40 for your debut. You've got a really, really quick half in you. You're a 61 low half marathon runner. I can't see how he doesn't break 208, to be honest. And it's. So I think he'll play it safe. He'll go with that. He'll maximize that group. This is going to be a group with Mark, Phil Sesma's pacing. I think Jack Rowe might be pacing. There'll be a few boys pacing, and it's just a case of let's see who wins that. And I actually think he will go quicker than 208. And I think Mark, because of that, also needs to go with him. And speaking to Mark is a racer, and it's quite refreshing to see that. I think both Mark and Mohammed will make some big moves in that race, because they have to. There's no point running 208.05 if you are the second Brit, I mean third Brit.
Yeah, I agree. And it's going to be a fascinating race. And I think you're probably bang on there. I think it's going to be between Mohammed,
Yeah.
Mark for that
Can't see
spot.
anyone else. I'd like to think Hawkins, but Hawkins is form. 15-12 at podium 5K. Isn't that the speed he's going to have to do for run 208 pretty much?
Maybe he was doing it as a race pace.
He has run a 65 half last year, but again,
Yeah.
he just hasn't got anywhere near back to where he was.
Hopefully this is the start, though. Hopefully this is the start. I don't think it will be the one that takes him back, but hopefully it's the start of.
Look, if he runs, this is it. If he runs 210 or something like that,
Even if he runs 212 and just finishes and doesn't like massively
it's a good point,
blow
yeah.
up, I think the future's then bright. I think if he DNFs or he really like runs like a 215, 16, you're then like, okay. That's
Think it's
where.
212 is 215-16 these days, mate.
True.
With the conversion. It's literally like running a 214,
That's the
212.
thing. It like
It is like running a
his 208,
214.
his
Yeah.
208 is ridiculous.
208 is like a 210 used to be.
Yeah.
It
The other
is.
person to look out for, obviously, Paolo Surafel ran that super quick half.
Yeah, it did.
Recently, and also from Ireland, Sean Tobin. Excited to see how he goes. I would not be surprised
That's
if he
true,
runs
actually.
something quick. He obviously, I did see when they originally put the list out, they put his, he obviously ran that,
His Antarctic
his
Marathon.
Antarctic Marathon. They put that on his PB, but they have changed it to debut now on the website, sorry. Because I think he ran 257, didn't he, in Antarctica, just broke three, got a world
Something
record,
like that. Two,
a
three, yeah,
continental
257,
record.
253.
Yeah, so that was pretty funny. But obviously, yeah, now racing a proper one. And I could see him going quick. He's a tough athlete.
Yeah. He's obviously going for the Olympic time. He's obviously trying to book a spot, isn't he? So again, he's someone else that we're going to enjoy seeing in that group with Mark and Mohammed and those guys just trying to bank that 208.10. I definitely think we're going to see Paolo Surafel in there. I mean,
Yeah.
after his half, low 61 minutes. I mean, he's on a debut with that boy. The race is going to go two ways. He's either going to have a storm or he's going to have an absolute stinker. That just seems to be the way he runs. And when I saw that 61, did he run 61:30? When I saw that flash up in Ghent in Belgium a couple months ago, I was like, Jesus, add him to the mix because he'd been, hovering around that 63, 64 for a while in the half marathon, and he finally like really cracked the whip and broke through. And that's a serious time. Like that's quick enough to be able to run 208 if you've done the right strength work and the preparation and stuff. So yeah, let's see what he can do. And then a few other names that was worth shouting out: Jacob Allen, Alex LePetra. Those guys have been pounding the miles in Battersea Park, the Highgate men. I'm excited to see what they can do. I think low 213, 212, somewhere around that region would be epic. And again, it just starts to bump up that the depth of marathon running in this country. They're both running well. I mean, Jacob Allen's flying, so I might be doing it injustice here saying saying he's only gonna run 212. He might go run 210, who knows?
Yeah, and the thing is with these guys, like, I wouldn't be surprised if some of these just get on it, because who knows, like, how many opportunities do you get to kind of go with an Olympic group in an Olympic year in an elite London marathon field? Like, if they're feeling good, if they're like, actually, yeah, maybe on a good day I run 2:09, why not go with that group and just see what happens?
Oh yeah. I mean, there will be consequences.
There will be
But
consequences, but someone's got to do
you're
it.
right. Yeah, you're right.
No,
You're right.
like,
Yeah.
speaking of consequences, how's our old housemate Aaron Phelps gonna do? Is he gonna run a sensible, measured race?
Absolutely not, mate. Absolutely not. There's he's gonna yeah, Tower Bridge, he'll start laying it down. Canary Wharf, he's already starting to pop, and then he's just staggering himself along the river and the embankment, and those last, like, what is it, that last kind of like 6 miles, which just kind of follows the river home or something.
Scraping
So
in to
yeah.
make sure he gets that sub three.
Well, what's sub three? What's the relevance there? Just like,
Just a big barrier, isn't
just
it?
a big,
Nah,
yeah.
Phelpsy, I believe in you, mate. There you go. If you're listening, just don't go off too fast.
Yep. So, so
I guess that's the advice
yeah,
for
that's it. And
anyone else listening
yeah.
as well.
Well, this is the interesting thing about London, actually, that if you are doing it and you're listening, is a lot of people, I don't think they give credit to, and I was talking to Mark Phil about this, to the fact that that first 3 miles, 5K is downhill. And often in London, that split is ridiculous. When you look at kind of like the pacing graphs, and especially on elite ends, that'll be the fastest 5K of the race, no questions. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Just because there is a little bit of, you know, sort of money in the bank. And I think
I think it's just as long as
even
people don't.
Mark would think.
It it's as long it's okay as long as people don't panic, because I
Yeah,
think
don't, yeah, basically
some
don't look at
people,
your
yeah,
watch and be like, yeah.
and think,
And
oh, I'm
don't look
gonna
at your
blow
watch
now.
in general. Yeah.
Obviously, coming
We'll be
from
looking
two
for a
marathon
meal.
experts speaking on the podcast, so take everything we say
Yeah,
with.
we've both never done a marathon before.
Matt, you never tried, to
But
be fair. At least you never tried. I didn't quite make it to the start line, so.
we're in the fortunate position of we can just speculate what we could do. I'll be brutally honest. I don't think I'd be very good at all at marathon running. Have not got the patience for it. But
I was in filthy
yeah.
shape, you know. I'm
Lum's 20 kilos overweight. We need to
now, not then. Actually, no. Now I'm just a normal weight. I'm a normal weight. I'm a healthy boy
Yeah,
now.
Lum's a normal human being.
So it's good. It's good. It means I can just enjoy my marathon running from the sofa on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Unfortunately, neither of us will kind of be there watching. It'll just be a case of, I do feel like I've, you know, the London is one of those ones where the atmosphere is amazing. Don't get me wrong. It's amazing to be in there in the facility. However, I can actually watch it all at home. I can actually
Yeah.
see the race. So where we will be, or where I will be, is in Dulwich on Saturday night, watching the podium Dulwich 5K go down. Let's see how fast this course is. I'm pretty sure there's going to be another one in September. This is kind of a little warm up bubbling away for a big dance in September. And actually, there's some pretty good fields going down. Asics sponsoring that one, so I will be there Saturday night. But yeah, unfortunately, I'll be on the sofa Sunday morning, bank some miles, and enjoy the marathon like a lot of you at home as well. So.
Yeah, that was gonna be my question, mate, because I'm sure a lot of people weigh this up. Are you a long run then London Mara kind of guy, or are you a London Mara then long
Oh
run?
no, I'm not one of these. Yeah, I'll definitely need to get it out of the way. Like, if I don't long run before 12 o'clock, it's done. It's done. That Sunday's then a rest day. Like, I don't know how. There's some psychos out there who long run in at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Definitely.
See, for me, London's the one day where I go the other way. Normally, I'm like, I say
Well,
normally, I
the
usually.
women start early, don't they? The women's, is it like 9:30 or something, the women start? Like, it's
Yeah.
quite an early start, I think. So you do have to get up a bit earlier and get the run banked.
For me, though, London was always one where you swap it because you spank your long run because it gets you so gassed. So you watch London, then you get out the door, and then you hit like mile 10 and you're like, oh, yeah, I'll start turning the screw now.
Yeah. And that's the
Anyway,
thing
we
with it,
digress. Digress.
yeah. So but I just hope we see enough of it. Boston coverage yesterday on Eurosport, I was pretty impressed with. We had split screens, we had clocks along the bottom of the women's time, the men's time. Pretty pleased with. I hope the BBC just nail that London coverage, and we don't spend too much time looking at talking to charity runners crossing the bridge
We just got to get
when there's 3 miles to
both
go in the men's race or
screens.
something like that.
That's the top tip. Yeah, get two screens up. Get the elite stream and the normal stream. Because then you make sure you don't miss anything. Because sometimes they fanny around between the two.
Oh, good shout, mate. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll have the
That's what I
TV
always
and the
do.
laptop going.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
always have TV. I get the main BBC coverage on a TV, and then get the elite stream on my laptop, and then normally have the splits up on the iPad as well, like on the London Marathon app. That's the only way to view it.
An immersive experience. Good man. Right, well, we'll leave you to it. And predictions just quickly then. For that Olympic team on the men's side, I mean, I'm going to go with Clara Evans on the women's side to make that the third spot. On the men's side, there's two spots up for grabs. I'll go Mil Kearse, and I can't bet against Mark Scott. But do you want to be the villain here and go Mohammed?
I'm gonna say, as I posed the question earlier, I'm gonna say Becky Briggs or Alice Wright asks a question to the selectors. I don't know who they're gonna pick, but I mean they ask a question, and then Emil and Mohammed.
We'll tune in. We'll catch up
We'll
next
dissect
week.
that next week, yeah. Okay,
All the
thanks for
best.
listening.
Thanks for listening.